Today's reading comes from Luke 4, verses 16 through 30. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord, the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me to this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in a prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, where the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Bless the reading.
I think all of us here probably remember the late Rodney Dangerfield, and the type of comedian that he was cut out a niche for himself that was different from other comedians. And he would always use this saying, "I don't get no respect. I don't get no respect," he would say, while he was always adjusting his tie and moving around. So I tell you, when I was a kid, all I knew was rejection. My yo-yo, it never came back. With my dog, I don't get no respect. He keeps barking at the front door. He don't want to go out. He wants me to leave. I asked my old man if I could go ice skating on the lake. He told me, "Wait till it gets warmer." Once when I saw a policeman and asked him to help me find my parents, I said to him, "You think we'll ever find them?" The policeman said, "I don't know, kid. There's so many places they can hide." Rodney Dangerfield was making light of certain truth in our society. Some people are not given much respect. The newspaper carried an article a while back about a junior high student boy who was 13 years old, and asked him, why did he always carry a gun? And he said, "Because if I pack a gun, I'm going to get respect." That's very sad. There are people who go through their entire lives and never feel respected, particularly among those who are closest to them. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you've gone through life feeling like you've not been respected. Or if you, when you were a youth, you actually thought about leaving home, maybe running away because you felt that your family did not respect you or care for you. They never listened to you. They didn't even seem to know at times that you were even in the room. I suspect that there's at least a few people in this room today who, as an adult, you don't feel respected. Whether it's at your work, maybe it's at home, and you feel taken for granted. Maybe even you feel taken advantage of. Several years ago, the great Aretha Franklin sang the Otis Redding song, Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you come home. Just a little bit. I suspect all of us hunger in our lives for respect. We hunger for people to listen to us. We hunger for people to take our ideas seriously, or to at least care how we feel. When we are disrespected, we lose our sense of self-esteem or our sense of self-worth and feel dishonored as a person. Maybe you will find encouragement from this. Even Jesus had difficulty finding respect from those closest to him. This is a bizarre statement in Mark 3:21. At the beginning of Christ's ministry, and I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit to try to fill in the context. When his family heard about Christ's teaching and his casting out of demons, they went to take charge of him. Well, they said, he's out of his mind. Imagine that. Jesus' own family thought he was nuts, and they wanted to take him away and put him away and lock him up if they could. Talk about no respect. Then we have our lesson for today from Luke's Gospel, which Jesus returns to the hometown of Nazareth and begins to teach in the synagogue, which was kind of like a home group study. And we read, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. So it wasn't something he just happened to do on this Sabbath. He stood up to read in the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which was handed to him. He didn't look and say, well, this is what I want to do. It was given to him, unrolled the scroll like this. And unrolling it, it found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then says Luke, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in that room were upon him. He began by saying, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Reading on in the passage, we discover that the home folks were impressed, I think, at first. Isn't this Joseph's son? You can see there maybe their hometown pride starting to swell. A local boy was doing well. But then they thought about his words. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The implications of that comment were that Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. I am the one that the prophets have written about and proclaimed would come. I am he. And then they began to get incensed. These people had watched Jesus grow up. They knew him as a boy running around, playing games, being like every other boy in the community. How could this son of Joseph be the Messiah? He's from right here. Maybe he speaks well. Maybe he even heals some people. But he cannot be the Messiah. He's just a carpenter's son, for crying out loud. It can't be Jesus. How dare him say that he is the Messiah? Jesus knew what was going on in their mind. He said, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. And by this time Jesus has finished speaking, we read these amazing words. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. All of them. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which he was built and began to throw him off the cliff. They were going to kill him at that very moment. No trial, no jury, no chance to defend himself. Just, we're going to kill you for saying this right here and now. And that's quite a remarkable response. His very first sermon of a young rabbi in his home synagogue. They were going to kill him because they didn't like what he was saying. He escaped, of course, but the lesson is clear. Among his own people, Jesus couldn't get any respect. So remember that in your own life when it happens to you, when people around you are not respecting you. Jesus understands he has been where you may be. But how do you become a person who is respected? After all, positions don't normally necessarily guarantee you respect. Titles don't necessarily guarantee respect. Being an older person doesn't necessarily gain you respect, or being a woman or a man doesn't necessarily gain you respect. So how do we become, to the best of our ability, people that are respected? The first step of being respected by others, you got to start with respecting yourself. You have to look inward and care about yourself. Regardless of your age, your gender, your social status, none of that should matter when it comes to respect. a certain amount of respect by conducting ourselves with dignity and character. Our society over the past few decades has done a terrific job with helping young people with their self-esteem. But there's a difference, I think, between self-esteem and self-respect. Self-esteem has to do with how you feel about yourself. Self-respect has to do with the kind of person that you really are deep down inside. Are you a person of honor? Are you a person who can be trusted? Are you the kind of person who does the right thing even when other people are not looking and watching? So self-respect has to do with our personal code of conduct. That is the meaning of David Brooks' book, The Road to Character. Character, he says, which is really another word for self-respect, is not won by comparing ourselves with others or patting ourselves on the back and saying, man, I am so great and wonderful. Character has to do instead with our perpetual struggle to be a better person. It's being able to say, I'm not everything that I want to be, but I'm trying to be better than I was yesterday. So, are you a person that can be trusted by your friends, by your family? Every time a person resists temptation to betray his or her moral code, he or she boosts a sense of self-respect. And anytime you do or say something simply and solely because it is the right thing to do, and anytime you refrain from doing or saying something because it is wrong, you boost your self-respect. Every temptation in this life is a test. When you pass the test, you feel better about yourself. And we've taught our young people to have self-esteem, but we have to ask ourselves, am I modeling it to other people, especially to the young, what it means to have self-respect? We gain respect of others, hopefully, first of all, by respecting ourselves. The second step to gaining respect for ourselves is to respect others. Jesus calls us to respect all people, regardless of whom they may be. I read about a man named John Berry who didn't like the way a bank manager in Spokane, Washington, treated him. When he walked in, he had dirty construction clothes on and just did not look like somebody you think has money. So Berry, who had just wanted a parking slip validated, took his money and left. It just so happened that his money amounted to more than $2 million. It began when Barry, 59, went to the old National Bank to cash a $100 check, and then he asked him to validate his 60-cent parking slip. And the teller wouldn't do it. So he asked to see the bank manager. The bank manager wouldn't do it. So he went to corporate headquarters. They wouldn't do it. So the next day he went in and made his first withdrawal of $1 million. Went back later and got the second million. He says, if you have $100 in the bank or $1 million, I think they at least owe you the courtesy of validating your parking slip. One of the keys to regaining respect for yourself is to show respect for others. When the bank manager didn't show this humble-looking customer the respect he felt that he was due, he in turn lost that customer's business and loyalty. Third step in gaining respect is to do the best that you can in everything that you do. Tommy Nelson, in his book, The 12 Essentials of Godly Success, tells about Oscar Hammerstein. Tells a story about Oscar Hammerstein, who once asked why he worked so hard to perfect his lyrics. He answered a question with a story about seeing a photo of the Statue of Liberty taken from a helicopter. He said that he was amazed to see on the Statue of Liberty how perfect the hair was on the top of the statue. And this was in 1886, long before people were flying planes and helicopters able to look down on something. So why would someone spend all that time working on the top of the head of a 180-foot statue that thought that no one would ever see? It's because that Frederick Bartoli, the Frenchman who made it, knew that liberty and was grand, that it was just and it was a wonderful, glorious thing, and he didn't want to do a half-hearted job. So Hammerstein realized that if Bartoli could do this work with excellence of concept of liberty, then he could do his music well for his audience. And so he strived for perfection and greatness in everything that he did. Earning the respect of others is not an easy task. And even Jesus was disrespected by his own family and the people in his hometown, and eventually most of the people in the whole country. And eventually, he was crucified. But there are simple things we can do to help respect of ourselves and others. First, respect yourselves. Live out the highest values that you can. Respect others. Treat everybody the way that you yourself would like to be treated. And do your best in everything that you do. Now, these principles may not guarantee you to get respect, because some people just don't respect anyone. They go through their whole life not respecting anybody or anything, any institution or people. And that's just the way that they're built. And you're never going to get it from them. So you may not be able to go through life getting the respect that you feel you deserve. But you can certainly begin by respecting yourself. May God bless you. Amen.